This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. It's incredibly easy to use, and every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that will look great on every device, every time. It starts at just $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. For a free trial and a 10% discount, go to squarespace.com and use offer code BLOGTALK. That's offer code BLOGTALK.
Blog Talk Radio.
Satellite Guys Radio proudly presents another edition of Satellite Nation. Do you have a comment for the show? Or maybe you have a question for us? If so, we look forward to taking your calls at 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Dave.
Good Wednesday evening, everybody, and welcome to the 50th episode of Satellite Nation. This is your host, Michael. I go by KE4EST on Satellite Guys, and there's no Dave at the present time. And if whoever is listening, I'm sorry it's not going to be on Satellite Guys, but it was going to be, but congratulations to Dave. He's got a good excuse tonight. He's a new daddy. If you listened last week, we was talking about him having a baby, and of course he's his wife's having a baby, but they were supposed to go in the next day and go to the doctor and everything, and she was due actually last Tuesday or Wednesday one anyway. And so they went in Thursday with the doctor, and the doctor said, if I remember all this right, they're going to go in. Actually, I think they went Thursday night. That's what they did. And so Thursday night they went in and had a, sometime Thursday evening, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, they went in, got her all, you know, set up, registered in, and put her in the maternity ward and all that good stuff. And then, which, with my experience with my wife, they would sometimes do that, and then the next morning, bright and early, you know, like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, the doctor would come in and break the water and get things going, but I don't know the details really a whole lot, and I don't want to get them all wrong, but if Dave calls in, we'll ask Dave. But for some reason, anyway, they, I mean, I'm sure they had some good reason or whatever, but they wait until 2 o'clock on Friday to break the water. And then after about 20-some hours of labor, sometime Saturday evening, she gave birth to a healthy baby boy. Who we got there?
It's me.
I thought it was. Did you let yourself in?
And that baby boy looked like he wanted to kick somebody's butt when he came out.
I know. That was a big old boy.
He was a big boy.
Yeah.
He looked like he wanted to fight somebody.
Yeah, that's where Dave is. He's I just talked to him a few minutes ago, and he's like, I'm going to, well, like an hour ago, okay, I'm going to get to the office. And he's like, oh, crap, the wife, you know, whatever, she's sleeping, and she's been up all night. And so he's got baby duty, and he says, but I'm still going to, the baby's asleep right now, I'm going to call in, you know, and can't clean on satellite, guys, I can't go to the office, but I'm going to call in. Then he texts me about 10 minutes ago saying, oh, crap, the in-laws just showed up. But that's understandable, you know.
Yeah. He posted the pictures of the baby in the Satellite Guys pub member area. And yeah. When we say it's a big old boy, it's a big old boy.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Dave.
But, yeah, and I made him I didn't make him one. My a couple months ago, I was talking to my mother. She does sewing and quilting and all that stuff, and I was talking to her about it, and she said, well, you get the material, I'll make him up a baby blanket. So I did. I went and searched and found some cloth material that's got pictures of satellites on. Not satellite dishes, but, you know, satellites in space, and I think it's got some, like, you know, spaceships on it and stuff, you know. Not from a Star Trek, but, you know, from, you know, like shuttles and stuff like that. And I forget that it wasn't the cheapest cloth, but anyway, I ordered it and got it in. I took it to her, and I said, here's what we're going to use. And so she worked on it for a little while, and I sent it to him. He got it Monday, and he was ecstatic. He couldn't believe it. And he didn't expect it, you know, and so I just sent it to him. And so he got that blanket out with satellites on it, wrapped his baby up in it, sent me a picture.
That's funny right there.
Yeah, that was. I could tell he could just tell, you know, he, even though I couldn't see him, but you could tell he had the tear in his eyes. That thing, he's like, man, I just can't believe this, you know, and wasn't expecting this at all. And I said, no, I never mentioned anything about my mother even so. But anyway, tonight.
Well, we got a surprise this week. We got if you're a Dish Network customer, you got the ESPNU, you got ESPN News, you got ABC Family, and you got the Disney Channel back in high definition.
Yep.
And I can't say too much, but they did come early. And I can also say that they were lit up using spare equipment.
Yeah. That's
not
about
the real
that.
Equipment. This is not the real equipment that they're planning on using for it, but they lit them up early because of the NIT tournament. So good news there if you're a Dish fan. That's why originally, according to what I knew, the plan was to light them all up on the same day along with the Watch ESPN app and the Internet Access and Disney Junior and all other stuff. But, again, they got them online early. People are asking why the Spanish ESPN is not online in HD yet. The real answer to that is they don't have any more HD equipment at the uplink center to uplink it with. They wait for the stuff to come in.
Yeah. They'll get it.
But that's what's going on there, and it was a nice surprise.
Just quick. I was thinking April sometime, you know, or at least a couple more weeks, and then all of a sudden, seen it light up before I even saw it on satellite, guys. I was flipping through channels. I was like, whoa, what's this? Now, straight to the computer.
I'm also hearing that the new contract is not in effect yet.
Oh.
I guess you're letting Dish run these channels because the agreement is in place, and plus Dish is spending a lot of money on advertising right now on ESPN. So.
Right, yeah.
Sure, you can grab them a couple days early. Go ahead.
So, yeah, you're doing a lot of advertising for us. Well, yeah, go ahead and give you a little extra there. But I figured it was going to happen eventually anyway, one or the other, you know. And yeah, it's not like they're going to keep them away forever. It'll happen one way or the other.
And for people wondering why some of the other Disney channels are not in HD, it's because of space.
Yeah.
There's not enough space up there to add these additional HD channels. I mean, there is space up there, but there's space for emergencies. So if a transponder dies, they flip over to another transponder, but that's about it.
Right. Oh, yeah, they got to keep something for emergency in case a bird goes out. They can't just, sorry, folks, when we get our satellite launched in a few months, we'll let you know.
Yeah. They're currently doing a equipment swap out. And right now I think they're like doing the 1,000s, 2,000s, 5,000s, you know, the really early models.
Right.
And that phase ends on March 31st. After March 31st, they're going to start swapping out other older receivers such as the 2800, the 3800, the 501s, the ones that cannot do 8PSK or MPEG-4. And then once they do that, then the Western ARC and on the Eastern ARC, they're going to join some things together there and you know, use the newer compression with it because people with the older boxes couldn't see those channels if they switched to the compression today, which will open up a lot of room for them so they can bring these other channels this summer to Dish. And I would expect that, like, Disney XD will be in high definition. I expect the new Fusion channel will be in high definition. I expect Disney Junior will be in high definition. And, of course, your Longhorn Network and your new SEC network will be in high definition on Dish as well, but they just need to make the space. And that's what they're working towards right now.
Yeah, by this fall and this time next year for sure, you know, everything will be totally different. I'll have a lot more up there after all the changes is made.
Yeah, so that's what's happening there. Let's see here. Also in the satellite news is kind of interesting from DirecTV, and they announced today that they're starting their own boxing promotion.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I just seen it and I didn't have time to read the details on it.
Yeah, it's going to be their own boxing promotion where they're using a smaller size ring. And it's their hopes that by using a smaller size ring that there'll be more action because there's nowhere to run.
Ah.
And it's been sanctioned by the Nevada State Athletic Commission, so they're good to go running events. And they're going to have a number of events through 2014 and 15. And the inaugural event is planned for the summer of 2014. They don't necessarily know when or are announcing when. And since the announcement's been coming out, I've been talking with the office of the CEO. And hopefully we'll have some more information to share for you, maybe even breaking news first when it comes to the new Big Knockout Boxing from DirecTV. So that's kind of cool right there. I spent my afternoon on the telephone and sending emails and stuff like that, and they're interested in working with us in that. And so we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I just happened to see that a while ago. I don't know what time you post that up, but I seen that, and I was like, I forgot about looking, but I'm glad you called in and told about it. So, yeah, that's going to make things a little bit interesting, make the ring smaller. I never was a big boxing fan myself, but, you know, people are, you know, it's definitely going to be different.
Well, the big problem with boxing now, if you ever watch a real boxing event, is it's guys running around the ring and avoiding each other half the time.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
So now if they put them within arm's reach, no matter where you're running the ring, you're still within arm's reach. It's going to make it interesting. You can run all you want, but you can't hide, you know?
Right. What do you think about these, Scott, these, this, changing subjects on this, the Tech 2000 website or Tech 2000 dishes?
The website, I can't exactly place it, but the design looks familiar to me of another company from days gone by.
Yeah.
But that's not speaking good or bad about the company because I don't know who the company is, and the company does not identify who they are or where they are, for that matter.
Yeah. I'm curious how they're getting or where they're getting these, if they're even legitimate AZ boxes, you know, if they're a clone or if they're a real thing or something. You know.
Oh, there was a thread on Satellite Guys about that earlier saying from our buddy, excuse me, something to myself. Our buddy Power Search. Damn it. saying that they're not authorized to sell AZ Box anymore. And I don't know who made Power Search the Pope, but as far as I can tell, and I've been doing a lot of research on this, the only one who has authorized Power Search to say he is the authorized distributor of AZ Box is Power Search himself. I've found no official confirmation from anybody out there. So for all we know, this Tech 2000 company could be getting them from Rick's or someone else, and we do know they're in short supply and they're running out quickly. But as far as Tech 2000 itself, they say they're making their own dishes.
Yeah, I read that.
And you know, that interests me. As you know, Mike Cole was planning on doing... making dishes, making Sammy dishes under the Manhattan brand, and they had all the Sammy tooling equipment, and unfortunately the person who had all the tooling equipment left it outside, so it got destroyed.
So
it's irreplaceable. Now, if these guys are really making these dishes, I would love to see one. I'm not passing judgment that they're good, that they're bad, you know, right now, because nobody's seen one.
Right.
You know, I'm having nightmares of the, you know, the Robbie special we had a couple years ago where we were selling, you know, $69 dishes. and the dish was basically made from like four plies of aluminum foil.
Yeah.
You know, it's not high quality, and you know, for $69, it wasn't a bad deal. Don't get me wrong.
Oh no.
But as far as a dish that would last you a while, that was not the dish for you.
No. Yeah, if you keep up with it and repaint it and you know, the $6 special, it'll last a while, but it's, you know, it's not going to, I don't have to just leave it out there, believe me. Because I've got one of them, and it's just not doing anything to it. It starts rusting and starts, you know, falling apart after a couple of years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on the, you know, somewhere near the coast or something, it's going to not even last that long.
But I can't imagine a mesh dish being as flimsy just because of the way mesh is.
Right.
And, you know, that's another reason I'm interested in it. And, you know, if they could send me a sample or whatever, or have me pay for shipping to get it here to Connecticut, I'd happily set one up and report back on it. Because, you know, I've been looking for a 10-foot mesh dish for years now.
Yeah, I would. I wish they would. You know, come out and announce themselves on Salad Guys or something. Hey, you know, or send somebody, you know, a sample, and I'd be happy to do a full blown, honest review of it, and you know, good or bad. And
we don't have sponsors, so you're not gonna, you know. By us reviewing it, we're not going to offend any of our sponsors because we don't have any. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I can't speak bad or good about them. The only thing that really scares me about them is, you know, they're going to be shipping in from Canada. And
yeah.
when you're paying duties and taxes and shipping, and it's going to be door-to-door shipping, it's going to be on a, you know, coming on an 18-wheeler to your house.
Right.
The price of the dish is probably going to be cheaper than what getting it to your door is going to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. And I don't know how, you know, it's so close, you know, to, like Brian was saying, he posted in there that it's, that's not much more than, you know, what
to bring them in,
yeah. Right, so it's, how are they making a profit? And if they are, of course, if they're making them themselves, you know, that's different, you know, and so.
They said they're making them themselves, but as I say, something about that website, and I've seen that design before, and, you know, I can't quite place it, but it does seem odd, especially since they're not identifying who they are and where they are, other than they're in Canada. Buyer beware.
Right.
Until we establish that they're reputable, buyer beware.
Yeah, they at least need to give a, you know, physical address or something. And I mean, I don't think somebody's gonna come stomp them down. But I can see a lot of companies now doing that. They won't give some of them won't give a telephone number because they won't do email and all that only when they're selling stuff. That's fine, but at least get the address. I'm in gear and I talk more about, you know, what's going on, but they just. I don't know, but yeah.
And they could also do more for themselves. They could provide more pictures, number one, of what their dishes look like, what the assembly process is. If you click on the assembly instructions, it sends you to a website that was posted back in 1997 and hasn't been updated since then. You know, how to set up a basic C-band dish. But I want to see actually how to assemble their dish.
Right, exactly. Might get it with no instructions. If you do get it, then you got to figure it out yourself.
Yeah. So if they want to make themselves look more legitimate, they need to put more information on their website.
Yeah.
And my only fear is them doing that is when they do it, then they're going to jack the prices up because everybody knows it's real deal.
Yeah. I think there was one guy on there. Can't remember what his handle is on Salad Guys, but he said he got one. He's just not put together yet, maybe in a few months. So I thought that was kind of odd, but a few months, maybe a couple months, but it warms up good. But
yeah, I can't really trust a person saying that because, you know, there's no pictures, there's no proof, there's no, yeah, I got myself one, yep.
Yeah.
I know if I ordered one, I'd be raring to put together and open up the box and look, say, here it is, guys. Look, it's real, look.
Right. Even if I couldn't put it together for whatever reason, if it's not weather-related, say, you know, my job or I ain't got time, I'd at least break it out of the box, take some pictures, say, look, I've got it, but how I ever get it together, I'll show you. But
yeah, take a picture of some of the pedals, and, oh, look how strong the pedals are, or, you know, we got to slide the mesh inside the pedals, the mesh comes separate, and they got to slide it, you know,
right.
And build the frame around it, you know, just some of those things, you know, showing that it is indeed for real would be a big bonus for the entire community, because, as I say, I know a lot of people who are looking for a new C-band dish, not someone's old one.
Yeah.
But a brand new one where they can go in and you know, start from scratch and have a dish that will last them many years.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people says, well, why do you need a new one for? And you can go buy all these other ones, and get these other ones from people for free or whatever. And that's fine, you know, because you can get some good ones that still last you for more and more years. But some people just want that new thing, and they got money, and they don't care, you know, what it costs. They want a new one, you know.
Well, you don't want somebody else's problems either, because a lot of people, you know, had them outside for years and years and years. The rest is beyond belief. The mesh got big holes in it. You don't want to have to deal with that, you know, trying to get it running again. You want to open up the box, put it together, 2 days later, be watching TV.
Right. I'm just saying if you get a good one, you know, and I've got a couple of good ones, you know, used from people that's really good shape, but I've seen some crappy ones that I've had people offer me, and I go look at them, I was like, nah, I don't want to throw with this.
The TV station I did some work for, they got a 10-foot Sandy on the roof.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, is it even worth anything anymore? And, you know, I went and got them the digital LB and put it on there, and I got a micro HD box, put that on there, and I'm like, yeah, it works great. And I was like, oh, well. So they said, I bet you weren't wishing to show us this now. I said, why? Because they said, if you couldn't get it working, we were going to tell you to take it away. I was like, damn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I never tell nobody. Of course, every time I ask somebody, they say, what are you going to do with this? Are you going to sell it for scrap and you're going to make money off of it? I'm like, nope, I'm just going to take home and experiment with it. Well, there's nothing up there anymore. I'm like, yeah, there is. But, you know, and I'm in amateur radio. I like to play with stuff. I don't really tell them exactly. I don't take a receiver to their house.
So, you know, I like it to be real. And also I noticed they said they have an office in New York. I think they said Albany, New York. And if they had some of the dishes coming out of Albany, New York, that would be a big money saver for a lot of people as well.
Oh, yeah. Let me take this.
But again, no real details.
That's true. So, I heard
give us some details, guys. Let us know you're for real. Show us some pictures. Show us a picture of your warehouse with these boxes stocked up. Show them coming in and... show us the installation instructions. You know?
Yeah.
Just showing a dish, picture of a dish set up, and who knows when that picture was taken.
You know, I thought the same. I thought the same exact thing.
I was like, I took the picture out of the Skyvision catalog from 1984 and pasted it up there. Okay.
In fact,
the picture was in black and white, if I remember correctly. I'm not on the website now, but the picture was black and white.
I don't remember either, but I see that. I guess until you come up to Robbie Special, I guess Robbie is out of business for good, because if you try to call in the phone numbers now, you get to we're sorry, this number has been disconnected or no longer in service. If you wish you reached an error, please try again.
Robbie was a good guy, but when he decided to split his business up between Atlanta and Los Angeles, that was, to me, the beginning of the end.
Yeah, he would. I don't know.
You bought something for him and you needed technical support, you'd call him in Los Angeles, and they'd say, well, call the Atlanta office.
Yeah.
So you call the Atlanta office, and they're like, oh, no, you got that from the Los Angeles office. Call them. And you call the Los Angeles office, and they would never call you back.
Yeah.
And it was just a whole runaround, and... you know, it just got bad at the end. That's basically why he was removed as a sponsor. It wasn't because Robbie was a bad guy. It was just because he wasn't supporting the products he was selling anymore.
Right.
For me, when I have Satellite Guys Gold sponsor, that means we're endorsing them to be, you know, good quality products and good customer service.
Yeah, you don't want somebody on your website advertising, and, hey, I think on Satellite Guys, that's going to give you a bad name, you know.
So
what I've been hearing about Robbie, that he is out of the business now, and sad to hear, but at the same time, really not surprising. Again, when he split into two separate offices, it was like the beginning of the end. And then he also got married, too, so that throws another big thing in there as well.
Yeah, I think that was part of it, too. Just kind of, you know, it's just the way it goes with some people. Well,
and the other thing I didn't get was him naming his products like one letter off of competitor's product.
Yep.
You don't do something like that, you know.
That was just so wrong. I think that was just, anyway.
But, you know, I deal with a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff in the satellite world, and it's always this cutthroat thing where, you know, a company will make this brand-new product and spend all this money in research and development, and as soon as it's out in the market, the company that made it for them is trying to sell it for pennies on the dollar to other companies.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Case in point, some of the satellite meters that Tim from DMSI sells.
Yeah.
As soon as Tim gets his first shipments in, I get emails from these guys saying, hey, we're the ones to supply these, and we can supply them to you for cheaper, and you can sell them for cheaper than him.
Well, he's already paid.
Why would you do that?
Well, I mean, Tim and I pay for development cost, and so now, you know, they've got everything ready. Let's punch them out. So, yeah, it can be cheaper than the next person, you know, and that's just so wrong.
Or you have your competitor calling around trying to figure out who made these things, and when they find it, they're like, hey, I'll give you an order today of, you know, 10,000 units if you sell them to them for X number of price.
Right.
And they may get them and they may not get them. It's just, you know, take the stickers off that are on now, put my sticker on it, and we'll call it good.
Right.
And it's just these games that are played in the behind the scenes, and personally, I think that's hurt the free-to-air industry as far as if you're a retailer selling these things, because if you're selling a satellite receiver, a $6 profit margin is not going to, you know, get you the Golden Palace, that's for sure.
Oh, no. I know that for sure. It's just everybody out there trying to cutthroat each other. It just don't work out in the end. And it's just, you got ones that fall by the wayside because, you know, they think, well, I'm getting here or whatever, and then they keep slashing prices, and I don't know what they're thinking, and then next thing you know, it's just nobody's making any money on nothing. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's a niche market, you know. You can't just go crazy with it.
Right. Now, today on Satellite Guys, we had a guy coming to the Dish Network Forum saying he was out of work and was looking to get into selling Dish Network to make some money. And I immediately replied back to him. I said, if you're looking to make money selling Dish Network or DirecTV, you're looking in the wrong place.
Yeah. when he wanted like $100 commission per sale or something he was wanting or something like that. And it's like, well, where's he getting that from?
It's not going to happen. He wanted to set up his own kiosk in some mall somewhere, and all the kiosks I've ever seen haven't lasted for more than 2 or 3 months.
Nope. They never last.
And, you know, if you're going to sell the product, you need to service the product, and you need to know about the product. This guy didn't even know anything about Dish Network other than he wanted to sell it.
Right.
The satellite business is the weirdest, strangest business you can ever get into as a retailer. You're not setting up like a convenience store where you have Coke and Pepsi coming into your store and saying, hey, I want to rent this amount of space from you on your shelves over there.
Right.
And we'll pay you X number of dollars per month, and then you get commissions for each, you know, bottle sold, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not like that. With satellite, you're basically going out there and purchasing the receivers basically at retail cost, and then installing them, hoping to get a check from Dish to make up for some of the money for that. But if the customer, you know, did something wrong, or if the customer canceled in so much time, Dish comes back and takes that money from you. The customer got a satellite receiver, and you're out of the money.
Yeah, I hate that, too. I used to hate that when I was into it big in the 90s and stuff. I hated that. The customer would die, and they'd take my money back. I'm like, I can't help they died, you know,
And you're stuck on the hook for the box, and you don't have the box anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I gave you your money away. I'm like, this is bull, you know. I could see, you know, if I didn't. Well, it's because, you know, they base it on, well, you know, you should have sold the customer properly and taught them properly and explained to them. And I could see if you say, hey, you know, you could get Dish and it works great and you get VOD and all this stuff fine and never goes out in the rain or anything. And then a big heavy rainstorm comes through and they cancel, you know, because it will fade sometimes if it's a super heavy downpour.
Mm-hmm.
But if a customer dies or, you know, their house burns down or something like that and they... that's not my fault.
Yeah, if you want to be a retailer for Dish, you need to understand that your role with Dish is nothing more than being a bank for Dish.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they, you know, occasionally make deposits for you, but you're buying from them. And if something goes wrong, they're coming after you and taking that money right back again. And,
yep.
It's the most silliest business I think I've ever seen. And,
yeah.
And even go a little further, and it's just not Dish. I'm not picking on Dish. I'm not picking on DirecTV. It's both of them. You know, a customer will call you up, want to sign up, say, okay, we'll get you installed on Saturday. All right, sounds good. Thanks. Thank you. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Bink. And then the customer calls Dish up directly and says, hey, I'm getting installed on Saturday. Can you guys get here any quicker? And Dish
yeah.
will say, or DirecTV will say, yeah, we can be there tomorrow, and then we'll also give you a $50 prepaid Visa card as well.
Yeah.
You know, so the retailer just lost that sale. The
yep.
retailer can't offer them a $50 Visa gift card because it would be cutting in their commissions, and they gotta eat and pay the rent and electricity and insurance and unemployment and everything else like that.
Yep.
I don't know. It's a crazy business.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, instead of working with you, they work against you.
Yeah, I used to hate that. You get your commission and you get your chargebacks. I hate all them chargebacks. I may be at it, but it wasn't, I wasn't rich by no means, you know. And in the later years, I did Dish and Direct both, but I was working for somebody else. And so I don't know really how Direct did theirs, but I'm sure it's probably the same deal.
Yep, same deal. Same deal. As I say, I've never seen another industry like this one where the company you're selling for is also your biggest competition.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. It's all wrong. And the thing about it is if I go and talk to people who make some of these decisions and you know, come up with these ideas and plans and rules and stuff like this,
wow.
They don't even know jack about satellite installation. They've never done an install in their life. They're a newbie out of college. They've been working there for 3 months, and now they're making all these decisions because they think they can save the company money and you know, the retailer for them is a profit center now. It's not a service organization that's, you know, extending the value of the brand name of the company. It's a profit center. How much money can we get out of these retailers?
Yep, exactly right. Most of them have never even, or all of them have never even set foot on somebody's property and installed Dish. They're just, they don't know what it's like. They don't know what, how can they make all these rules up? You got to do this, you got to do that, and this is going to be done. If not, you know, QC will kind of get you more chargebacks and all that crap, you know.
Yep. So.
They've never been a rule.
To the guy who's looking to get into selling, you know, there's some of my reasons why right there why I don't think it's a good idea to get into it. It's just not, it ain't what it used to be, and all low-lying fruit has been taken already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you're going to make a sale, you're going to have to really work for it, and then after you work for it, you may not even get the sale anyways because maybe stolen right up from underneath you.
Yeah, I used to. The National Electrical Code's written that way. It's some of the rules in it. You know, a lot of it's good. That's, you know, fine. You know, certain things will be a certain way when they come inspect. Say you're building a house or you're wiring a house or whatever. And everything's got to be, you know, certain things makes perfect sense. But then they have these stupid rules every 3 years and they change the book. And some of these things you're just like, what in the hell? <You know? laughs> It makes no sense. And but you find out that it's these so-called, quote-unquote, engineers just out of college sitting up here on the board making these rules up. They ain't never even been out in the field at all. They don't know what they're doing. They're just, sounds good on paper.
Yeah.
it should be, these people should actually have to go out in the field for a couple of years and do it, and then if you want to be in this position. So you actually know what these installers are going through or these electricians are going through or whatever. And I think things would be a whole lot different.
Yeah.
I mean, I think still be good rules and they still be good, you know, safety things, but it would be done differently. It'd be a whole different ballgame.
And the other thing that aggravates me about dealing with both satellite companies is that most people you deal with in corporate don't even have the service.
Yeah.
Hey, the hopper was doing weird things last night. Did you notice I was doing this between 8 and 10 last night? Oh, no, I got Comcast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a job. Then they go to their job and do their job and whatever, and they don't.
Beta testing, they take guys and sit at the desks all day long and, you know, try to break things, but they don't really watch it. They go in scientific order of trying to press this, and this, and if it passes, they say it's good software.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, when it hits the streets and hits the satellite guys' hands, we don't hit the buttons in the way they're supposed to be hit. We're good at breaking things.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when they go home at night, they're not using the equipment that they were using in the office. In fact, they may not even want to see a satellite receiver when they go home.
Yeah, I don't blame them on that in one way. But it would make a difference if they was actually, okay, we got this new Hopper 3 coming out, okay, we've got it going, let's get the beta units out here, take one home with you, take one home, and then take them home and actually watch TV. No, we got to take your other one out. I don't care what you guys got to be, it's got to be gone, we're going to come in, or you're going to be fired. The other TV's got to go. You can make this work for your wife and your kids, and then they start coming to work every morning and say, hey, man, this didn't work, and that didn't work, and, man, we got to do something about that.
it's just part of the game. Even the executives I know, they may have service at home, but they're never home.
Yeah, I got Dish, or Direct. I ain't, you know, like I say, we ain't just pick one company, but I don't ever watch it. My wife watches it. I don't know. I don't ever fool with it, you know. And she calls and asks me how to program something. I'm like, I don't know.
it's frustrating because if it was me working in that environment, I would think I'd have to live, breathe, and eat, you know, that service all day.
Yeah.
But for other people, it's a job, and when they're out of there, they're done with it.
That's why I like Brian's took off the titanium when he's doing his.
But he uses his product.
It uses it. He goes through it and goes through it himself. But then he may miss something. So he sends out a couple beta units to people before he releases it. I know I had like an ASC-1 I was playing with, you know, and I had this whole punch list the first 2 days I got it. I called him up and was, okay, you got to do something about this. He said, well, I didn't even catch that. I didn't even think about that either. I'm like, yep.
Well, it's like when the micro HD came out. He sent me one of the first ones from the first batches.
Yeah.
And he was so proud of it, and I got it home, and he sent me one and plugged it in, and I started using it, and he's like, isn't that thing great? I'm like, right, it don't work.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean it don't work? When I do this, and this, it don't work. No way, it works perfectly on mine. So I packed up my positioner and my everything and sent it up to him, and he wasn't using that brand positioner, so he started playing with it and noticed there was a big bug in the software. He was like, wow, I didn't catch this. I'm glad I sent you one early. You know?
Yeah. That's the way it was with ASC-1 when I got it. I first thing I hooked up to was micro HD. And I'm like, I can't get nothing to work right here. Have you got a crap product or what here, you know? And he said, I want an honest review. I'm like, well, you know, just to him at first, just in beta, you know, I'm like, calling up, I'll say, you want an honest review? This thing's crap. Or something's crap here. I can't get nothing to work. What do you mean I can't? I said, you know, and he's like, yeah, I'm starting to. But he actually, that day, I think, it started messing with me. He said, yeah, I'm starting to notice something with the micro HD. And the micro HD kind of put the asset commands are kind of trashy and they're real low modulated. And that's why that big, you know, thing happened, you know, with all the switch outs. And I was like, I can get. So.
Yeah, but at least Brian was willing to take the criticism constructively.
Yeah.
And to improve his product. And he improved his product so quickly. I mean, he had a new version of the software to me like a week after I sent him the stuff. He's like, all right, try this now.
Yeah.
I got my stuff back from him, plugged it in, did the offset update, and I was like, oh, this box rocks. This is great now. This is a beautiful thing. You know, so I was honest. I went to Satellite Guys when I first got it, and I said, hey, I'm having lots of problems with this thing, and I don't like it yet. And then once you got the fix in there, it was me being honest again and saying, this thing is great. And I believe to this day that it's still probably the best current free-to-air receiver on the market. And, the best on the market will change over and over and over again. I mean, from different companies and stuff like that. But
for me,
from where I sit and from the boxes that I've received and tested and used, the Micro HD is the one that rocks the best so far.
Yeah, right now.
And, you know, when Joe has his new Android box out there, watch out, Micro HD.
Yeah. Until we find all the bugs, man, they get some fixed. But that's what he's working on now, because that's what he's doing, too, instead of just, you know, because he's not this big corporate place that's just pumping out boxes. He's, you know, going through it like crazy. And that's the thing about Brian. I've called him up before, and he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, what's going on, Brian? So I've been for 26 hours straight, and I'm trying to solve this problem with this whatever, you know. I'm like, oh, okay. You got a question about something? I'm like, I don't know. I just called the chit-chat. He says, well, I'll talk to you. That's one thing about Brian. He'll stay up for hours and hours on end. Something, you know, ain't working right. That's why you got to, you know, that your software upgrades quick, you know, because he's like, got to fix this, you know. And he's passionate about it. Same with Joe, you know, and so that's where you got to be. And I'm glad they're like that. There's people still out there like that.
Yep, and I agree with that 100%. And, you know, Brian turned that tower box that I got into the best box I've ever owned. So that's saying a lot. And he did it so quickly, too. That's what impressed me the most.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, so, those are my frustrations with the satellite industry, I said, going forward. Let's see here. I made an announcement the other day about Satellite Guys Radio.
Yeah.
We're going to be relaunching Satellite Guys Radio in mid-April. Now, all the current show producers are more than welcome to continue doing their shows during this period. However, at the end of the week, I'm going to remove Satellite Guys Radio and all mentions of it from the homepage on Satellite Guys. I'm not sure if I'm going to remove the Satellite Guys Radio forum temporarily or leave it open. But if not, if I do close it, the show hosts can feel free to mention that their show's on at their normal times when they air, you know, in other forums on the site.
Okay.
The reason for this is we've invested a lot of money in some new software, and we're picking up Satellite Guys Radio, and we're turning it into a superstation. Now, the software that we have now allows us to sound like a real radio station. In fact, it's based on the same software that's run at Sirius XM.
Oh.
And what it does is it scans all your music and you enter your intro time. So if you have a song playing and it's got instrumentals up front and you got like, you know, 37 seconds before the singer starts singing,
right,
you can mark the intro time and things like that. And what it's going to allow Satellite Guys members to do, besides do live radio shows like the one you're listening to now, it will allow members to voice track their own radio shows. Now, the main format for this station is going to be 80s. However, if a DJ wants to do their own show, whether it be live or voice track, they'll be able to play, you know, their own music. So if Michael, you want to do a country music show, you could do a country music show, and you'd have your own time period where you do it. But one of the unique things about this is I can send you a USB drive, and you can send me all your music.
Okay.
To what I put in the machine. And then I give you a special program, a voice track program, very easy to use program. And when you connect to it, connects to the server, it sees the times where your show is broadcast, and automatically creates a playlist for you based on your own songs.
Okay.
Now, you can go in there and rearrange the songs. You know, say, I don't want that song to play this week. We'll play something else. You can go in there and switch it around. But it'll be set to the same format that the rest of the station uses as far as music, meaning that there'll be a voice track. You know, you right after the top of the hour, you'll be saying, hi, you're listening to my show, and blah, 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 and then a song, and then two songs, and then there'll be a Satellite Guys jingle. And then, you know, there'll be another voice track where you can come in and introduce the next song coming up, and so on and so forth. And when you voice track, what makes this so unique is that the software itself, when you record your voice, when it inserts in the song, it inserts it in the proper points of the song, whether the song is ending or starting.
Right.
So that way you sound like a professional DJ. So
right.
When one song's ending, you start talking, and you keep on talking, and then the next song may start underneath you, and people hear
right.
the song starting on. But when you're done talking is when the singer starts singing.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
And this is the same software, as I said, SiriusXM is using, so they got all the MTV VJs. And they're basically running the same program on the desktop. It's only a little 10 meg file. What you do is you just hit the connect button. I give you the IP address. I give you username, password, get into it. And again, you're only seeing your own music for your time period. And so, you know, if you're not going to play 80s music, but you're playing country music, you're going to see your country music there.
Right.
And now if you're voice tracking, you may want to come out of a slow song and go to a higher tempo song, but you want to get the feeling of the song that's just ending so that way you can slow down the way you talk because you're coming out of a slow, sad song. That was Kenny Rogers and I Just Shot My Wife.
Right.
And then you can actually hit a button and hear the entire song that you're going to be playing, or you can hear just the outro part of it, so that way you get your timing down, so you
right.
know how to come out of that song. And it is so unique, and you just hit a button, record each little file, it sends each file up to the studio, and it does it. You can record a two-hour show in less than 10 minutes' time.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And when it airs, it sounds like you're sitting there live in the studio.
Right.
Now, as far as being live in the studio, another illusion of being live in the studio that the software can do is people can go to the website and they can see a list of songs, and they can actually request songs. So when a song request comes up, it's going to play a voiceover saying, here's another Satellite Guys, you know, instant request, and it will play the song.
Right.
Now, you may be wondering how that works when you're voice tracking a show. Well, the requests don't play just willy-nilly automatically inserted. There's places for them. So that way, you know, all the songs you introduce are the songs you actually introduce. It's not going to be a request.
Right.
So if a request comes in, what you say next is still going to be correct. It's really, really slick. And last night, I've been playing around with the software for a couple weeks now, but last night, for the first time, I played with launching a love songs for 2 hours at night, from 10 to midnight.
Yeah.
And last night, I didn't announce it. I didn't publish it, didn't do anything to it. And so we ran this love songs format. And when I looked last night at 11:15 at night, we had 18 people listening.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And another reason people are going to be listening more to Satellite Guys Radio is because we partnered with TuneIn Radio. And TuneIn Radio is an aggregator of all internet radio stations. And besides just integrating with them, you know, just to have our stations listed, we're running their API, so they know everything we're playing.
Right.
When a song
oh, yeah.
changes, they know about it. So they're actually yep. saying, do you want some love songs? Here's this bunch of stations playing love songs right now. And they'll just see a name of a song playing on there.
Yeah.
And they'll click on it, and next thing you know, they're listening to Satellite Guys Radio.
Ah, I got you.
So that
pretty
way, Yeah. So that way it's getting more exposure, because maybe a lot of people wouldn't click on Satellite Guys Radio for music because they think it's about satellites, you know.
Right. Satellite music.
Now, the main reason we went for when there's no live broadcasting with the 80s music is because the 80s format right now is the number one listened to format online and on Sirius XM. It's the most listened to channel of the 80s on 8.
Oh, yeah.
And so
late 80s and early, real early 90s, but that's what I listen to myself.
Yep. So that's what we're going to be playing, you know, during daytime and things like that. We're going to have a schedule in the morning. I'm going to find a host, or I'm going to host it myself. So at 6 a.m., it's going to be the 60s at 6. It's going to be all 60s music.
Right.
7 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be the 70s at 7. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's 80s at 8. What makes the 80s at 8 different that hour than the rest of the hours, for that one, it's going to be a DJ, you know, and he's going to be telling you the current news and events going on between songs, like a morning show format. So that way you may want to tune in, you know, every morning, and you may like the show. I've got a bunch of people interested in voice tracking, being the role of DJ.
Yeah.
And we're going to start sending out instructions how people can do it. And the reason we're taking all mentions of Satellite Guys Radio off the homepage is so these people who are interested in doing it can actually download the voice tracking software
right.
and play with it. And that way they you know, get the feel for it, they learn it, and it's kind of like a dry run for them. People are listening, but we're not advertising them as being on the air right now because we want them to get to practice.
Right.
Now another neat thing about this is for shows like this one and for Eurosports show and Craven show and a Canine Sat show, which broadcast live, is they actually will connect to a different server, the server they've always been using. What this new server does is when it's time for the show to come on, their show airs at 9 p.m. Eastern time, it will automatically connect over to the other server.
Aha.
And rebroadcast it. And then when their show is over, you know, the show ends at 11 p.m., boom, 11 p.m., they're cut off.
That was my question.
So that way you don't have someone broadcasting days 24 hours after your show's done because you forgot to disconnect. And gives us that professional sound. Now, one other thing I should mention, and I don't want to go too deep of details, but we've been looking at trying to get some transponder space. And, you know, going up on satellite full time. So this software will allow us to do it, will allow us to sound professional. I've had a bunch of professional, you know, voice tracks made for us already. Gonna do some more, and gonna have an actual schedule. Like the drive at 5 p.m. Eastern time, you're gonna have songs you like listening to when you drive. You know, the peppy, high energy type songs. It's quitting time. Let's get the hell out of here type songs.
Yeah, all right.
You know, at 6 p.m., we're thinking about doing dinner rock, where it's the rocking tunes, and doing that for an hour or 2 hours. And again, there's people who can DJ those, and they don't need to be live. And you know, you can bang out an entire week of shows in a half hour. So it's a really neat thing. It sounds professional, and who knows? Maybe we can even get somebody a job in the radio industry because of, you know, what they did at Satellite Guys Radio. So it's fun.
Yeah, that's I'm liking it.
So as I say, I don't know if you're going to continue broadcasting while we're doing that or not, but it's up to you, and you know, it's up to the other broadcasters as well. I'm not going to shut them off while we're doing this, but I don't want to promote the station on the page while people are in learning mode, trying to learn the voice tracking and how to do it, and, you know, get the right sounds and things like that. And also, I'll be away. That's another reason for doing it. Because in all my tests, this thing has been rock solid. But as soon as I get in that ship and pull out of port, who knows, I may die.
Yep.
And I don't want, I don't want to announce a new service and, you know, the new service is running and then I go away and it dies for the entire week I'm gone. That would, like, kill the service. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's an also a buffer for me. So we're looking at launching in mid-April with New Satellite Guys Radio. Again, we're gonna go with the 80s Wayback Time Machine format. It's looking like a lot of fun. I've been voice tracking a lot. And then on certain days, we're also going to rebroadcast Gym Station at Ionia, Michigan. Looks like we're going to do the Friday Roundtable shows every week.
Oh, cool.
The Friday Roundtables is the best show they do over there each week. And it's a lot of fun. And I just wish we could get some Satellite Guys members to start calling in and joking with them on the air because they're looking for that. Again, it's all automatic. I just tell it when and where to grab it from, and it goes out and does it automatically. It even passes the artist and title information that they're sending. So if I'm rebroadcasting WION instead of just saying WION on the screen, it's actually showing the song titles and names and stuff as it's broadcasting. So keeps it all legal compliant with all the broadcast regulations that we do have for Internet radio. And we're all paid up with our royalty streams through, I think, either September or October. And I've always loved radio, and the software was offered to me at a price where I couldn't refuse, especially for all that it does. So I've been investing a lot of time, money, and effort in getting it ready. The big part of getting this ready hasn't been setting up the software or anything like that. It's been naming the tracks correctly.
Going through.
Because what you got to do is you got to name artist and title, then you got to name the artist and the album, and then you got to hit a button and it looks it up on Amazon. So that way they show the correct album cover when it shows online.
Yeah.
And then you got to go in and fill in the year it came out. You got to select the type of genre it is, the feel of the music, whether it's slow, fast, love song, pop music. Break it down by that. And then you got to set up the BPMs. For the song, you got to look at the – so that way when it's looking for songs, because when it creates the playlist automatically, it tries putting songs together that would sound good, so you're not going from one to another, you know, in a vast comparison. It sounds professional. It sounds like some music director actually sat there and thought this out. This would sound great after this song here, and it really does a good job. With it, you know, you can listen to it now when we're not broadcasting on Satellite Guys Radio Live like we are now, or like we're supposed to now. The 80s format is playing. It's not finished yet. I've still got another 180 songs to add to it, which will bring us to over 1,000 something songs from the 80s. It's just me taking the time to label them all correctly and, you know, properly organize them. It's gonna be fun, and hopefully the DJs that do it have a lot of fun with it as well.
Well, I'm for one excited about it. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, now up in New York City they got WCBS-FM, and WCBS-FM uses live DJs almost. They actually voice track their shows, but they only voice track them like a couple minutes before the show airs or before that segment airs.
Right.
So, you know, they get a funny caller in, they can edit the call down so it spits a certain amount of time, and the DJ can, you know, insert his voice in there and make the joke even funnier and things like that, and then hit it and then shoot it into the voice tracking system, and the voice tracking system will automatically put it between two songs where it sounds perfect.
Right.
So if you're wondering how these DJs, you know, can have these callers on here and get the timing just right. Oh, that's what I do. That's a secret to it.
I knew there's some secret to it. I was a kid, they didn't do it like that. I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool how they're doing all this. Especially you don't have, when I was a kid growing up, you'd hear, you know, some of these stations, they have live callers in, and you'd hear somebody, you know, once in a while on a blue moon, you have this butthead, it wants to, you know, on purpose, throw the F-bomb out or something or whatever. And all that. And now you don't hardly ever hear that anymore because, you know, they got it, you know, it's delayed, you know, it's not live.
It's delayed. Whenever you call into a radio station now, you're recorded, and then that recording is edited and then put on air for playback.
Yeah.
So they can go in there and take dead air out. They can take you saying, 18 times yeah. out, and make it sound like a coherent phone call. And it only takes a couple seconds to do the editing. I mean, I've been screwing around with Adobe Edition for the past couple days, and I'm getting pretty proficient at it now, and making it sound really good, and editing really quick. I can actually look at the waveforms now and see where words stop to start. And
yeah.
Here's numb, there's numb, let's get rid of this. There's a buzz in the background there, and let's get rid of that. Too much dead air there, let's get rid of that.
Yep.
It's an art form, but it's really easy to do. And hopefully our members who want to be DJs have a great time doing it.
And maybe we should... I need to uplink the audio file for this in the pub form or something, or in the satellite form for this show, since we mostly talked about radio, where how new Salgo's radio is going to be, and so more people will listen to this episode than, you know, other people normally just listening for free to air or whatever, you know. But you got a lot of information packed in this about the new Salgo's radio.
Good
place to announce.
Yep. Good place to announce what we're doing and why we're doing it, you know.
Yeah, if you want exactly what's going on really, I mean, you can tap so much, but here, just listen to Scott talk about it, you know. And
The possibilities are endless.
It's
And if someone does send their music over to me, you know, wants to do a country music show, they're the only ones that can access their music. I'm not going to copy the music from my own collection or anything else. I'm not going to let another DJ say, hey, I heard that he played this song at such and such. I want that on my show.
Right.
If someone sent that to me from their private collection, that is staying in their private collection. That is the way it's working.
Should be that way.
Yeah. Well, all right. It's 9 p.m. now.
Yeah, I like going to
wrap up and turn around with Mike and Ralph.
Yeah, I didn't get the email today. Maybe I didn't. I missed it. But I usually get an email.
No, I didn't get one either. I didn't get the Yahoo Group's email from Ralph.
Yeah, I'm sure he's still going to the show. I hope so. But
well, normally Emily, he lets us know. So.
Yeah.
No, I went through all day here. Nothing from Ralph.
All right. Well, we're going to end it, wrap it up, Scott, and catch everybody next week on. Satellite Nation, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and we had fun, and really good show, or really good pack. Scott, thanks for all the information about the radio show, and I'll get the audio file. You can go pull the audio files, too, but I say pull them, you know, put them somewhere, you know, where normally, you know, people are like, well, if I'm into, you know, listening to satellite talk, I'll listen to it, otherwise I don't care, but this one you might want to, you know, put up, you know, on the pub members forum or on the radio forum or something, you know, especially if you're going to take out the radio forum, you're going to drop
it. That's not 100% decided yet, but I may just close out the radio forum so the DJs can see it so they can ask questions, but
I can post something in there, or another DJ can post something in there, but nobody else can really get in there and post anything. Kind of a closed forum. It's not closed, but you can still see, but you can't post in it, you know, unless you got permissions. But.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right, everybody. Have a good
week. Excuse me, sir. The show's over.
Thank you. And good night.
Thanks to all that tuned in tonight. Join those crazy satellite guys, Michael and Dave, next week for another exciting episode of Satellite Nation.
Bye-bye. I want to see motion, movement. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay? Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
See you later.